Welcome back to Construction Tech Talk, where we bridge the traditions of the trades with the innovations of the future. I'm Nick Perrette, your host, founder of Better Boss, and an advocate for technological advancement within the construction industry. In today's episode, we're setting our sights sky high as we dive into the transformative power of drone technology in construction. Today, we are honored to welcome Cody Retlick, a pioneer in drone technology and aerial storytelling. Cody began his journey with Midwest Aerial Productions, where he leveraged drones to deliver top-notch services directly to clients. Building on his foundation and his extensive experience, Cody transitioned to creating Drone at Air. This innovative SaaS platform enables construction companies to easily connect with skilled drone pilots for efficient project management and mission execution, marking a significant evolution in how construction projects leverage aerial data for enhancing outcomes and market their capabilities through high-end job project content. Drone at Air is a Techstars portfolio company, which is an impressive accomplishment. But more importantly, Cody is a University of Wisconsin Whitewater alum and graduated college with me. Join us as we delve into Cody's journey from Midwest Aerial Productions to founding Drone at Air and explore the transformative potential of drones in construction. Cody, it is an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Really appreciate you joining us. I think you might be the first UW-Whitewater alum that I've actually had a chance to interview on a podcast, and I've done hundreds of them. So this is a great honor to me, and I appreciate you being here.
Yeah, man. No, I appreciate you inviting me. Warhawks got a band together at some point here.
Represent, baby. Represent. Gotta leave our mark. When you were going to school at Whitewater, did you go to school for entrepreneurship? Did you always know that you wanted to start your own business? Or what's the backstory to you actually becoming a business owner?
Yeah, I did, actually. I was first class to actually graduate with an entrepreneurship degree in Whitewater. So, yeah, when I was looking at schools and looking at different areas of where to be in, I knew I wanted to be in business in some sort of fashion, right? I wasn't an accountant. I didn't want to do finance. I didn't want to go down that road, but I was more general business type stuff. And I knew I always wanted to run my own business. Like, I was always hustling, doing something growing up. So I felt, what better way than to go to a university that has an entrepreneurship program, and I can learn a lot of different areas of business, but knowing that, hey, how do you start a business? How do you be able to hire employees? How do you scale after you have an idea? How do you go to market? Like, all these things where you can learn business working for another company, but they don't tell you how to do it yourself, right? Like, they just give you the formula of how they are doing things at that time. So yeah, I chose Whitewater because they had an entrepreneurship degree and I got waitlisted from Madison. So ultimately, that was my next best option. And actually, I did get accepted to ASU too, but I was going to go there for golf, but they
that sounds
whole nother road. Yeah. And then one of my buddies bailed on it last minute. So I was like, all right, we're going to stick around home. And I'm glad I did. It was great. But yeah,
it all worked out. So exactly. I wanted to ask you though. So what advice would you have to an 18-year-old boy or girl out there that knows they want to start a business, right? And they just don't know what to do next or really where to begin. What advice would you have for them?
I would say you probably don't need to go to college. Like, I look back at it, I'm like, Did I need to pay that amount of money to go to a four-year school to ultimately run my own business? Probably not. YouTube University, right? There's a lot of material out there. So it's, one, I wouldn't say that you have to do that. And I don't even know if I would do it again if I had to do it over. Did I make some awesome connections and people and relationships? And I did develop my passion for drones while in college too, with being in a course that was, someone was developing a company around drones. So one, it led me down the path that I wanted to. But my advice would be, one, obviously, if you're looking to start a business, make sure it's feasible. One, that they're, do your market research and understand if there's a market for it. And really dive into who your customer base is and if it's truly a problem that they're willing to pay for. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, I think a lot of people that ask about different types of businesses and, hey, would this work? Would that work? And the other thing, it's like, I don't know, maybe, but I don't have the research or the knowledge to know who that customer is and that problem that you're solving. So one, just get obsessed with customer discovery and market research up front to know that it is a feasible business. And then after that, obviously you want to start your business, right? Create an LLC if that's the case, or if you think you're going to
scale. What about on the market research side though? Because yeah. I think that's a really good point that you started with, because knowing if it's a feasible idea and people are actually willing to pay for that, how do you know? Do you have any kind of insights on that research part, the market research side?
For me, when I was first starting Midwest Aerial Productions, this is my first company, I ultimately was just researching drone companies in my area. There wasn't hardly any of them. There was a few, but very few and far between, just like one or two that was actually doing anything with it that was researchable, honestly.
Kind of a pioneer.
Definitely in the local market, I felt like we were very first in some ways, and even Midwest, of how the business model shook out to be eventually. But yeah, it is that really like just diving into local market, who's in it. And it doesn't even have to be local, right? Depends what business. Obviously, we're talking general stuff here. Like you could be global, you could be United States, you could be mid region based or local. So it depends. Like if you're starting a retail business versus an online versus a software versus a product, there's so many different ways to go about it. I think just understanding, one, who's all doing something out there similar and who might be competitors, and how then, what's your competitive advantage? What is that one thing or two things that really makes you different? And like, why would someone come and buy a product or your service from you rather than someone that's out there that's already doing it? Because if you're just tweaking like a little one, two thing, or you have a lot of the same mindset on something, it might be a tough road, right? But if you mm-hmm. really have a truly different value add or value prop and advantage in that space, then you might have something. And then it's, okay, now how do we dive in deeper and how do we start this and be able to continue on to make it a company?
Yeah, I have a few things to kind of to say on that. First off, maybe instead of a college fund, I'll start the business fund for my future child, where, sorry, hey, here that. Is a stack of cash that they can go use to start up their own business and go see what happens. I think that's not a bad idea. And then also, too, when you're saying, you know, something unique or your competitive advantage, and I think Cody's saying here, too, is that you don't have to recreate the wheel, but what's your unique selling proposition? What's going to make you different and make customers decide you instead of the competition? Your business will evolve. Look at you, Cody, right? You went from service to SaaS. And I think it's a good idea to start with that service, really understand that model. And then if you want to evolve it to the next level, you can do so. But now, when you first got started with drones and with Midwest Aerial Productions, what kind of initiated that spark into drone technology?
Well, it was at Whitewater, actually.
Was it?
Yeah, it was like in a class. They were doing some agricultural research. Like I was just kind of part of one of the team members that was doing some of the market research for this new company that was starting up in the ag space. So that just allowed me to really dive into the drone space and understand, man, this is going to be everywhere. At that time, it was very new. It was in
very new
beginning stages of drone technology for a consumer level. So that was like just my first initial glimpse into it. And then I took it to more so just of, I just want to get a drone. I want to be a hobby. My old roommate who you know who lives by you, we bought drones, little drones, and we would chase them around our apartment together, like just for fun at that. just like crazy, just fun stuff. It was so new. It's just like, let's just fly. Let's just do some stuff. So at that time, I was just interested in it. And I was doing that research throughout a couple of years. I worked in corporate sales after graduation for a couple of years with him, actually, in a company around
Shout
us.
Out Tyler Young. Might as well give
it to him. Yeah, T. Young, give it to him. And I did that for about 2 years. I hated it, though. I absolutely hated it. So I was like, this is not something I want to do. And I had already bought a couple of drones at that time. I've been flying for just for free work around the area, getting my skills tightened up and learning that local market, still doing their research. And I would come home from work, sales side of things, and I would just fly drone, or I would be on the laptop and doing some research on certain things, or just working little bits here and there and just figuring it out. And then, yeah, just started really local. Kind of.
So what were you doing with those drones? Were you doing construction projects, golf courses? Were you just being like, hey, like, what was your strategy there?
In the beginning, it was just whoever wanted to let me fly, right? And
for free in the beginning?
Yeah, I did some free work in the beginning to just get that experience and understand the processes as well as the safety mitigations and things that I needed to do to understand it a little bit more. At that time, though, Part 107 was like so new. So Part 107 is your license, your certificate that you need to get in order to fly drones commercially. Basically, just you need it to make money flying drones, right? Or if you're working for a company that you're flying drones for the company internally, you have to have your Part 107, right? So that was so new at the time. Really, the regulations in some ways were still being ironed out, as they still are today in some ways, just at a lot different level. I was just all over the place. Golf was definitely something that I gravitated towards just because I've always been a big golfer. But yeah, I was doing commercial real estate. I was doing residential real estate at the time. I was flying construction sites, insurance claims, and they kind of just snowballed into. We pivoted probably 6 or 7 times throughout that first 5-year period to figure out what we were good at, and then grew it to the more of a Midwest base and then a United States base, and pivoted more of a brokerage model.
I love it, man. So I want to focus on the construction side, insurance claims. We can lean on your experience with Midwest to start, and then we'll move on from there. But how are you using it, and how are you seeing it getting used now today with some of your pilots for construction, insurance claims? Of course, people think of marketing assets and stuff like that. But I know you think, hey, there is way more opportunity there. So can you go into those different kind of ways to utilize drones?
Yeah. Generally, pretty much every industry can use drones if we're just talking like marketing purposes, right? Like every company can take pictures of something, an event, a building, a land, videos for marketing purposes. So in any way, really any industry could use them, even if it's just like a commercial or something for that aspect. But if we're talking specifically for construction and insurance, there's so many advanced ways that now you can get data to key stakeholders for, let's go the construction route. For example, obviously, I know that's your listening audience, and it's one that's growing crazy rapidly. You can map construction sites. We can do volumetrics on sites to figure out stockpile measurements of how much rock or dirt or inventory levels there are for different types of stuff that are on a construction site. Yeah, so you're taking the drone as a tool, right? You're using it as the data collection agent, right? And then you are using a software at some point, right? There's a ton of them out there. Drone Deploy, Pix4D, Maps Made Easy, Litchi, there's all kinds of them. That then you can plan these autonomous flights around certain things. Depends what you're doing. If you're doing mapping or mosaics, they all have different capabilities and uses. But you can then create a map or orthomosaic and then measure how much of those. So the drone's not necessarily giving you that data. you're just using the drone to collect the data, and then you need to tie it into a software platform to ultimately give you that information.
So it captures the videos or the images, and it's able to basically put that into the software and then do all those measurements or whatever it might be.
Absolutely, yep.
And then you can do like thermal imagery. You were saying some other ones, right? So keep them coming. So you guys, progress, I think you were going to say?
Yeah, I was just going to say progress updates is a huge thing for if you have construction sites, right? Most of the time, if it's a decent sized construction site, so there's multiple people that are contracted for that job. Mm-hmm. I think from some of the larger ones I heard, the Pfizer, when that was going, I think there was like 50 or so contractors throughout different processes, right? Electrical, grading, you got obviously the erection, you got the steel, you got everything. So all over, investors as well as want to see these timetables and timelines for how the project's coming along. If it's on pace, some of these projects don't actually they're basis off of hitting timelines in order to fund the next or to go steps further. So some of them are, you really need this data to show stakeholders what progress it is. So for example, we went to a site downtown Milwaukee once a week for 2 years to be able to take photos and videos of the site to send back to the main contractors, which then they were distributing it out to multiple as well to keep everybody informed and in the same line of like where they're at in the process and understanding if they're behind or, yep, this we're on this 16th beam over from getting installed. You can really gain a lot of insights then on how the project's coming along. And then we did some cool progress like videos and mapped it out so that we did the same exact flights every week. So once you're done,
that's cool.
We could do a time lapse of the building, like getting built as the drone's flying around. So say you start on one end, it's being built as it's going around. And then once it comes back, it's finished, right? So it's like a time lapse of 2 years of footage put into a 30-second kind of clip, which is a really cool way to also show off your jobs.
I think it's just the power in the storytelling, right? If you want to do certain types of projects, if you want to present well to certain types of clientele, right? When you have those kinds of assets and you're able to capture your previous work and really tell the story behind it and make it just look clean and crisp, man, it's just your presentation is going to blow people out of the water, right? So
yeah, it's a huge sales tool for sure.
And I wanted to ask you on that, your videos and everything like that you post, and maybe it's a good time real quick. If people want to check you out, I know you have a podcast, right? You have social media platforms, website. Do you want to share some of that information with us now? So that way, if people do want to get in touch with you, they can do so.
Yeah. So Midwest Aero Productions is my first company that really started out as a more local stuff. It turned into the brokerage. So right now it's still, we have clients in there that we're brokering pilots out to throughout the United States, but also more so used as a personal, from a social media perspective, more personal stuff for myself right now. But Drone Adair is the new company, which we're developing a software platform. That really everything we've done with MAP very manually, we're doing with Drone Adair, but also giving tools to both the pilots to grow and scale their business as well as enterprises to tie into these drone pilots, become more reoccurring relationships, and then giving them also tools to manage all their drone missions and jobs. So you can check us out on Drone Adair, any social, droneadair.com, Drone Adair on any platform that you can think of. I think we're pretty much on at this point. And then Midwest Aerial Productions as well on any of those.
You got to check them out. And so we'll definitely be talking about how you went into Drone Adair and really what it can do for contractors out there. Because I really think that there's a pretty unique gap that you're filling in the market space. But the reason why I wanted to plug your social and everything like that is because you're a storyteller, right? You are. Your videos are really well done. If you're looking at the video editing and everything like that and the effects you do, transitions, awesome. But you're also a storyteller, right? When you're, let's talk about contracting companies, construction companies specifically. What advice would you have for them when they're using drones to tell those stories, capture projects, show off whatever aspects they want to of the business to their clientele? What tips do you have for storytelling?
That's a good question. I did come from that production world. That's what I started in. I was like, I love doing the videos and photos and telling those stories and showcasing cool properties and things like that and telling that story. So it is in some ways being able to connect with what they're trying to show off, right? There's so many different ways that you can tell a story and create that connection with someone. But if we're talking just drone stuff and in these industries like construction, I think the biggest thing is just getting content for one, right? Don't let, just because there might not be crazy margins in it or it's not that big of a job or whatever, you never know when someone down the line is gonna be like, hey, have you done a project like this? And be like, yeah, I did, but I don't have anything to show for it. It's more content, the better, right? In a lot of ways, at least capture the content to start. And then you can really start to put, I've seen some really cool stuff from some other people out there too lately, just building up as you go and like having some really awesome more ground stuff incorporated in and showing off the people and the process and that type of stuff, which people connect with more than anything. Is like the drone stuff's cool and it's pretty awesome to see. And some of my friends in the industry at indoor drone tours, like they're doing some really cool stuff with indoor FPV flights and being able to fly these little drones throughout the properties inside and show off those capabilities and as well. So I would say when you're storytelling is just being authentic and showing your brand off in a way that people can relate to and just getting the content and not worrying about, I guess, all the other things that come with it, the like costs and everything else. You have to, right? Obviously.
You got to factor in, like, you have to have some kind of marketing budget, right? And if you're doing a job that's like, hey, this is my ideal client, this is my ideal project, I want to get more of these, right? We'll tell that story. And so you mentioned something about making sure you're capturing that content, right? And if you don't have it, right, you have nothing to show the next client that is your ideal client that you have done that and it looked fantastic or it went really well or whatever it might be, right? Especially what you were talking about with the time lapse, right? Just showing the entire process, because people want clarity on the process and they've had issues with contractors or whatever it might be. If you can invite them to see that process, maybe throw in a little customer testimonial or whatever it might be, right? That's going to be a really powerful tool to help you build a brand that's going to attract that ideal client. And I think that's what it's all about, right? Because you don't want to just work with anybody, right?
Yeah.
Get those jobs that you want, capture them, and keep telling that story.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's an ever-growing process. I mean, I'm even still trying to continuously learn and put stuff out there and how to tell the story and what people connect with versus what maybe they don't, right? It's a tough thing to rip the Band-Aid off in some ways to just do it. But ultimately, just getting yourself out there and putting it out there, whether it's just some drone shots, or that really telling that story from a customer perspective, an employee and process standpoint. It's a pretty powerful tool to use for sales.
And I'll tell you this too. It's a good feeling, right? When you have a brand online that is sleek, matches the look and feel that you want, is you know that if anybody finds any of your stuff online, you're going to be really excited about it because they're going to like it. What's special about that? So when you're putting that content on your digital platforms, right, when you're recruiting people to work for you or you're trying to close out a client and they're doing their research, that's going to do something. It's definitely going to change the game for you, right, and get you a few more wins.
But that's the first thing they see.
Everyone's going online checking it out.
Yeah, 100%. I even use nowadays, like, whenever I go somewhere traveling, I like will message them through Instagram because it's like a perfect portfolio of all my work where it's like, all right, I can message them on there, send them a couple posts that are related to what we've done in the past, to what I would do for them. And then they can just see every single thing right there, pretty much. And not everything, but a lot of it right there, where it's a perfect sales tool and it's a great portfolio starter to just get the conversations going.
Oh yeah. And then you could start to include all that stuff when you're reaching out to these people, right? Links and all that, whatnot, right? And you'd be proud of it. And I think there's a lot of companies out there that can't really say that because it is tough to get going. And I wanted to mention this. My last company was the roofing leads, right? For commercial roofing companies. And in the beginning, we were just a marketing company for them, right? So we did literally everything, right? We tried to do websites, social media posting, like we did way too much. And one of the things that I did try to tackle myself was video for a sec. Yeah. And I'll tell you this, I feel like I can handle any technology and would be whipping around. Video is a different ballgame. It is a tough business, not only just capturing it, so the production, but the editing is also difficult. Right. I'm sitting here for 3 hours trying to put a transition in. I did not enjoy that. Okay. And I did buy a drone too. I bought an expensive drone. Right. I don't remember how much it was, $1,300 or something like that might seem right. Yeah. And, dude, that was also difficult for me, to be 100% honest with you. Right. So I'm up there trying to take shots for these roofing contractors and capture their moments and whatnot. And it was not that great. I remember once I put my finger in the blade, chopped my finger a little bit even. Oh, yeah. I had some moments. I've had contractors that I've worked with where they buy a drone and it sits there and it just doesn't work. So this is where I want to go to your new venture and kind of talk about that. And tell a story. And I know that, hey, you're a tech start portfolio company. You got investment, right? Your startup company that could be changing the game hugely, right? For real. I mean, it really has a potential impact. So talk about it as if you were talking to a construction company, because man, I would love something like that if I was running a construction company.
Yeah. Ideally, I think I saw a stat. I don't know if it was at the end of last year, but it was like only 46% of construction companies are actually using drones today. So it's like the market is still there for either A, you're trying to get into drones from a construction perspective, or you have already a team internally, or you contract it out, right? It doesn't necessarily matter. But there's an opportunity to scale that and also widen what you're doing with them, right? If you're doing just the marketing side, you could do mapping, you could do the thermal, you could do all those things. So Dronadair was built in all of our experiences from MAP, right? Being able to find the right pilots for enterprises and for company specific jobs, right? So when we're talking construction, right, constructions companies are really able to use the platform for a couple different things. One, manage all of their drone data, all of their missions. They can, if they have pilots internally, they can manage all of that. So they can say, hey, we got a new job, flight for this site, send it, set it up in there in the dashboard, send it to a pilot that might be internally, manage all of that information. And then pilots can upload the data right there. They can see everything right inside the dashboard, look at airspace authorizations. So everything they need from a back-end business operational standpoint with the drone side of things, it's all covered. But if you don't have drone pilots, or you don't want to go out and locate and vet and make sure that they're qualified and insured and everything else, right, you can pretty much send a job to Dronadair's pilot side of the platform. And then what we do is we advance match them to the right pilot for their specific job, right? So it's not this race to the bottom mentality of this pilot submits the lowest bid or you click accept first. Only pilots that are qualified geographically, territory-wise as well, type of drones that they need, experience, equipment, that type of stuff, they'll get those jobs. And then if that pilot does a good job, the one way that really all of the other platforms out there that have done something in the drone marketplace. We're not a marketplace because we differentiate ourselves by most of them take 80% margins from the pilots or 50 to 80%. We take 5%. That's it, right? Because we ultimately want the pilots and that company to create a relationship and a reoccurring relationship that allows them to get consistent quality data, keep working with someone they like, but then also give them the tools on both ends to continue to stay on platform and to use it and build that network as well. Say you're a construction company, you book a pilot, me say, for example, in Wisconsin, right? You say, hey, did a great job for us. I want to add you to my network. Now anything comes up in your area that you're qualified for again, you're going to get those jobs, right? So construction companies are not only able to manage their own internal pilot networks and relationships and missions, but then also continuously grow them. And if they're scaled outside of their own state or region and Midwest or US based, they can really start to then grow as well outside of what they have coverage for pilots as well, and then get access and insight to their data.
I love it. Do you have any interest in sharing your screen and showing off some of the platform, or is that kind of behind the scenes?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind. So the enterprise side of our platform, beta goes live in April. So
you guys show it off though, guys. I'm telling you, you guys are going to want to be some of the first users on the enterprise level, because for me, I'm thinking this. Let's say I have a really successful construction company. Maybe I'm doing commercial projects or I'm doing high-end residential homes, right? Let's say we're growing and I have 3 or 4 projects going on at once. I want to capture marketing assets. I want to get data. I want whatever it might be for these projects that are all going on at the same time, progress reports, blah, blah, blah. I could get pilots directly from here, right? Assign them the missions, design my packages, and boom. I'm off and running, and I can manage everything from in the platform. So now all those moments you wanted to capture, right? All the data you wanted to capture, you can do, and you can manage it all from this platform.
Is being able to scale their drone operations and get everything that they need and really understand how they can better use drones as well. Because not only just using it for one thing, but being able
to
go
for it. I want to show you this. Let's see here. Am I doing the right? So I just did a little ChatGPT search, right? While we're on here, figured might as well just see what they got. I want to see what your thoughts on this. What are some unique ways to use drones in construction? So we got site survey and mapping, inspection and monitoring, progress reports, safety inspections, thermal imaging, material delivery, marketing and client updates, environmental monitoring, security surveillance, and AR for project visualization. What do you think of those?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of great, some of them we've already touched on today, but yes, 100%. Those are all ones that I think we touched on all of them.
Yeah, pretty much.
A little bit today, but yeah, safety for sure too. It's something we probably didn't touch on a little bit, but it's one of the more obviously prevalent ones too, to eliminate people crawling up and inspecting a roof or doing facade inspections or HVAC unit inspections, whatever it is, to allow people to not climb up where they don't need to. It's a huge safety.
So if I was on your platform, so if I was in Jordan Air and I wanted to hire a pilot, could they do a variety of similar services or solutions like this? Obviously there's a lot here, but is there a few of them, or is it mostly marketing assets, or what's the options there?
Yeah, so the options are endless for you. You're not necessarily booking a one specific job that is like only for that pilot. So what you're doing as an enterprise client, you're creating the job, you're creating what you would want off of, whether that is any of those that you just showed, right, from a list, and creating that job. And then once we have that criteria for that job and know the deliverables and what it ultimately is, Then we match you up with the right pilot that ultimately can conduct that mission. If you have a thermal job, that might not be the same pilot as if you want like cinematography or like high-end video, right? Or you want someone to do some mapping and surveying for you. Gotcha. Not everybody has that type of equipment and experience. So you're ultimately being able to create those missions that are somewhat repeatable in some ways. And then we're either matching you up with those right pilots, or you're sending them directly to the pilots that are already maybe internally working for you as an employee.
That's really cool. That's really cool. I like that. So yeah, guys, do you want to show off anything? Is there anything you want to show off? Any kind of visuals at all, maybe, to website?
Yeah,
software?
I can show. Well. Yeah, I would love to show the pilot side of the platform. We can always show that and
do
see
it.
What that looks like. Enterprise.
I'm telling you guys, we're all about the future, right?
Yeah.
And this is a guy here with big aspirations, right? A successful track record, right? Already proven in the construction space with drones. And he's about to open up some doors for you. He's going to change the game here. Because if I had a marketing company and I couldn't figure out this drone stuff, I'm guessing you guys are probably having some struggles too.
Yeah, and I would say, although I'd love to show the enterprise live here today, it is something that's fluidly moving, and I'm only really showing it on demos with people.
Oh, hey, whatever, man. I completely get it. You do you, man.
Yeah, but I will show you the pilot side, because that is live. That's been live since June of last year. And it is something that was pretty cool to see once how, one, these pilots are using it, as well as then give you a little bit of a glimpse on how the enterprise could potentially work as well here. Can you see my screen?
It is coming up right now.
Okay, cool.
Yep, we got it now.
Okay. So this is an example, right? This is just a page that I set up for our other company, Midwest Area Productions, right? Say this is either a standalone website for a pilot, or they use it as like a book now button, schedule a shoot, something like that in their website. This automatically, and I'm going to log out here so you can see it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Pretend now I'm a construction client that wants to book this pilot. Right. We're just going to do it the opposite way here for a little bit. So they can basically go on, see all of their information, availability, rates, or time that their availability, contact information, social media. They can also show off any previous work, photos, video links, maps, whatever they have. And then they can also go to like, all right, say you're in the construction industry. I know that I want something in here. All right. I find a package that I want. I want basic aerial photography. Now, as a client, I can go on and say, this is my property. It's not mine, but it's just a random address I put in here. For example, this one comes up as caution. There's some airspace advisories. Let's do a different one here just to see once what else shows up. So we integrate with Aloft. So for airspace, clients know exactly if you're clear or if you ultimately have a waiver and authorization that needs to be had. So once they put in that, they can also choose from additional services that pilots offer, right? So say you want additional photos, maybe some raw add-ons. You can go through and basically automate your bookings with these drone pilots as well. So you can put in the date, the time, you need it done fast, whatever it is. You can then ultimately, I'm going to take this off, put it in here, and you can go through and book it, pay for it, schedule it. Everything's right there. If you're a current client of this pilot or this company, log in automatically right here. It'll get sent to your dashboard as well as theirs. If you're new, first name, last name, email, we have an account created, and it's going to be in your dashboard. So
that's
what it looks from a client's perspective, right? They then check out, pay for it. If they don't have a package that fits your needs, you can also create a custom mission request and fill out all this information, which then ultimately gets put into the drone pilot's dashboard. And then they can create a quote off of that job material that you need. And then you can show off your drones, cameras, sensors, equipment, anything else that you have. Testimonials, I don't have any on this platform right now. I should put one on here, but those also would show up. Once the pilot logs back in, all this information then is sent to their dashboard. Can you still see my screen? Is the yep. dashboard showing up?
Yeah, up right now.
So if you had any current missions, those would show up here. All of your past missions as a pilot, you can go in, you can log in and see all of the information. You can add it to your calendar. You can see how much you were paid. You can see your airspace details, your client information. You can drag and drop all of your data and files directly into this folder as well. This one, since it's already completed, you don't have a complete button here, but there would be that. And then ultimately you click that. Your client gets notified, email, hey, congrats. Your files are ready to download. They log in, access them, view them, download them, anything that they need. So you can really stay organized with all of your missions, all of your information, and see everything that you've ever done for your client. And then this is where you can also see, say someone submitted a form, that custom mission form on your website. You can go in, see all that details, and then you can build a proposal out for them, fill out all this information and type out everything that you need, send that to them. They can book it, pay for it, schedule it, and then ask for changes, request it or decline it, accept it, whatever they need as well. Wow. And then you can also create custom proposals on your own as well in here to send people. You met someone at a conference, you talked to them on the phone, you've been emailing with them, they contacted you some other way. Me and you could be on this call right now, first time, we'd be like, all right, yeah, I need a job done at this location. You put all that information, I can send this to you while we're on the phone, and you could just, they could get it and say, hey, yeah, it looks good. All right, book it, there we go. And it's then it would be right inside of your dashboard, and you would see everything that you need to see.
Super cool. You're organizing the pilots too, right? You're organizing the pilots. You're organizing
exactly
for the client to. The client can find the pilot that has the capabilities they need, right?
Yeah.
And are in their area, right?
Yep.
So now you're going to be finding the best of the best because these people are getting pre-approved and everything like that, and you're going to get access to them. You're going to simplify this entire process. And, you know, I've been in the trades for 8-9 years now, and I'll tell you one thing. I've always noticed that basically the digital landscape or for how these construction companies brand themselves, right, always needs a little bit of work, right?
Yeah.
And if you really want to take it to the next level, I'm telling you, really focus on the way you brand your company online, right, and what you put out there. And make it really high quality, consistent storytelling, capture the moments you want to capture, right? Put some personality behind it, right? And make that modern feel, right? That looks so much different than the other contractors in your area. And you're going to win big. Not only are you going to win the right clients, you're going to be more profitable, right? And you'll be able to charge the prices that you want because you have the brand to back it up.
Yeah.
It's a no-brainer.
Yeah, no doubt. And obviously, I'm just showing off the pilot side here, right? This is that drone pilot, customer-facing, sales funnel, CRM, booking page, payments, files, all that. But the same thing goes for the enterprises, like any construction companies, right? It's a little bit different in the way it's obviously handled, right? Your dashboard's set up differently. You don't necessarily have a booking page and that type of stuff. But you can see the way, at least on here, right? It's user-friendly. It's very
same intuitive. User interface and experience, right?
Yeah,
a lot of projects.
Same manager projects, but in obviously different functionality and features and stuff that ultimately we're getting excited to show off very soon to the public facing. But obviously, if anybody wants to see a demo on that, I'm happy to hop on a call and show that off.
And so just go to your website, right?
Yeah, you can go to our website, droneadair.com. Book a demo on there or shoot me an email at Cody@droneadair and I'm happy to set one up.
So when's the last time you've done a video of a construction project or anything? Has it been 5 years? Because you have like pilots?
No.
I
still actually have a pretty big grading project. I still have some clients that are very local, like in my backyard, that have been around from the beginning. So there's still some that I do just to keep my skills sharp and I still enjoy doing it. I need to still get out and fly and keep up to date with everything that's going on and whatnot. So I still fly. So there's a grading project that I'm in month five now of, that I go once a week to capture just photos and videos for more marketing progression stuff and investor stuff. But random stuff will come up here and there from old clients.
You got anything you could show us? You got anything you could show us, maybe just a quick glimpse of?
Sure.
You're doing a little show and tell, and this is the first time I've done the screen share on this new one. I figure you'd be the perfect guy to maximize it.
Put me on the spot here.
I sent Cody a script last night for this episode with 10 or 12 questions, and I think I asked one of them.
Nice. I know, right? That's all right, though. We'll take it. Construction wise, I can show you a pretty sweet.
If you can't hear in the accent either, he's a Wisconsin guy too. He is a Green Bay Packer fan. So any kind of sports fans out there, let us know what your squad is.
Yeah, big moves by them yesterday. I don't know.
Big
which
moves.
Way it is
Aaron Jones. I want to give you a shout out. I know Aaron Jones, the former Packer. I know you're a big fan of the show. Wanted to give you a quick shout out, man. Thank you for your time in Green Bay. We'll see what Josh Jacobs got for us.
No kidding. We will see. Let me pull one up here. This is something that I'll show you just because it just shows off a cool, you know, something that we can do as far as from just very drone technology wise or drone video wise and just giving you a thought on
look at that.
Outlining things and whatnot.
So what is this?
No, this is Indiana, actually.
Washington, Indiana.
So, yeah, so just showing off the space. There's music behind it, but I'm muting it. So this is a power company, right? So they develop this land. Oh, it's going to buffer for me because I'm uploading footage right now, actually.
Oh, don't. I put this guy in the spot. And also, for you guys that are listening on the podcast, make sure you're checking it on YouTube because they can get the full visuals of what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. So some of this stuff is obviously being able to. Oop, I accidentally clicked that.
So look, it's doing its buffering and whatnot, but it looks so clean and high def. Is it just the drone's capabilities there, or is there settings?
That's a little bit of everything, right? One, dialing in the settings for actually being able to. This is a pilot that flew for us in Indiana, so we give them the settings for this type of stuff and whatnot. Obviously, this is a map project. We did that, and ultimately, it's a big communication is always the big thing. Is like ultimately getting the right. Well, I gotta find you now. I lost where your screen was.
You lose
me?
There we go.
No, it's just in my tabs. So something like that was getting a lot of clear communication with the pilots, understanding settings, where it was, giving them a list of what we need shot and some outlines and property stuff so we know what's being shot and then what we're showing off in the video and that type of stuff.
What about like time of day, sunlight? Is that stuff?
For sure. You saw the pretty morning stuff. The sun was rising. It depends the look, the feel. Sometimes it doesn't matter for the project. High noon is fine because they more so just want it for clear communication for internal use and rather than marketing. But anytime I'm shooting stuff for marketing or like showing off property or landscape and whatnot, I love to shoot it. My, you know, personal preference is first couple hours of the day or last couple hours of the day because you get those beautiful shadows and the light was very nice in a lot of ways. If I'm shooting a golf course, I'm there before the sun rises and trying to get those first couple hours of the day when those shadows are best.
Absolutely. But hey, it's been an absolute pleasure. I just got a couple quick questions before I let you go. Make sure you guys are hitting Cody up, man. I really appreciate it. It's just been cool to watch your journey as an entrepreneur and kind of see our paths cross a little bit, serving the same clientele. I wanted to just hear your thoughts on the future of drones and where you think that might be going, and then I'll end it off with just some words of wisdom from you.
Yeah, future of drones. So technology is always so far advanced from actually regulation side of things. So for us, I'll preface it by just saying that, because in the future, I believe drones, like, there's going to be flying drones, like, carrying people, right? There'll Uber Air, like, people in the sky that are in drones, technically, that are getting from place to place. That is, like, future.
I could see that. I could see that.
I think, honestly, even in the next 10 or so years, somewhere in there, potentially.
That.
A lot of the future is beyond visual line of sight stuff. So long-range inspections, drone in a box is huge. So a drone literally is in a box. It's like a weather station. It's a charging station. It lands autonomously and it takes off autonomously. You can schedule flights. You can schedule routine inspections for stuff. I think that is like the more near future. Than they're out already. They're pretty expensive in a lot of ways, but you also have to have certain waivers to do so. But they're getting more and more accepted every day now.
You think material delivery, even maybe like bigger size delivery?
Yeah, that was the next thing. What I was gonna say is delivery. I mean, that we're already doing that, right? Amazon's doing it, Zipline's doing it, Mana. There's a bunch of delivery companies out there that are delivering groceries and organs and just some crazy things that I could go
that's
on.
A game. That's going to be a game changer, I feel like, because you got to think about how many times they go back to Home Depot or whatever it might be, right? If you could get materials delivered straight to the job site, man, that would be wild.
Yeah. Big type of material stuff, probably not. That provides a lot of liability and just like a drone.
Hey, if I'm flying in cars, if I'm flying in a drone, like you're saying, maybe, right?
Maybe.
Like,
eventually
they can figure out whatever they want to figure out. Just depends on how high of a priority it is.
Yeah, and safety wise like making sure it's not dropping and hurting someone, but carrying bags of screws or like packages of like smaller stuff, absolutely, that'll be done.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I just had James Tasca with Tonry Insurance Group on here. Hey, I'm sure you'll have a drone plan where if you drop something on somebody, you'll be protected, right?
There are some drone insurance companies out there. It's
is there?
It'll be a heavy premium. Oh yeah, yeah,
right. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
Lots. So maybe one day Dronedair will have delivery of materials to the job site as mission options that pilots, hey?
You never know. Not something we're focused on now, but who knows? Yeah.
Probably won't be focused on that a lot for a while, but hey, maybe 10 years from now, right?
Right. No.
I would appreciate you jumping on, Cody. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on. What words of wisdom, man? So I do this to everybody every episode, basically. I don't care if it's a book, a life lesson, a quote, a business strategy. I could care less. You just leave the viewers with whatever you want to close them out with.
Yeah, I'll go a quote by something my mom told me a long time ago. She's always, it's not what you do or who you know, but it's what you do for who you know. And I think that's just something that I've always lived my life by, just helping people, being curious, actually curious about who someone is and just asking questions about them. That's why I love the podcast. I started one as well, like you mentioned before. It's just cool people, introducing to cool people, learning from people and their stories and how you can connect some dots. And
it's so, fun too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And so I that's just ultimately my thing that I've always loved, and just being generally curious about someone. They always say you're only a couple questions away from making a real connection with someone or whatnot. You're always, was it six? What are the degrees of separation to? What is that? How many? Is it
something,
six
something like that. I can remember with that.
So all about connections and just being generally curious and making real relationships. I think that.
And that's a great point. Maybe even this, next time you're at some kind of networking event, right? Great opportunity to develop new relationships and project opportunities, right? Prospecting. Don't say anything about yourself unless they ask you, and just ask questions the entire time that you are generally curious about that other person. And that person will leave that scenario saying that, oh, I really like that individual, right? It's a great way to really build a relationship and get people to like you. Yeah. And that can create opportunities alone.
Yeah, 100%. People don't buy from people that they don't like. It's ultimately the being able to make a connection and not sell. Instead, just build a relationship and the sales and the business will come later.
Hey, Cody, said, I really appreciate you coming on, man. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me. And we'll have to connect sometime again soon.
Let's do it.
Sweet, man.
As we conclude today's enlightening conversation with Cody Retlick about revolutionary DroneAdair platform, it's clear that the skies are just the beginning for construction technology. Cody's journey from Midwest Aerial Productions to launching a TechStars portfolio company emphasizes the boundless potential when innovation meets industry needs. For our listeners aiming to harness the power of drone technology in their projects, DroneAdair stands as a testament to what is possible in project management, data analysis, and storytelling from above. A special thanks to Cody for sharing his insights, experience, and vision with us. For those inspired to explore how DroneAdair can transform your construction management processes, or if you're looking to connect with skilled drone pilots, we encourage you to visit DroneAdair's website. As we close, remember, Better Boss is about empowering you to build the future today. Our tools streamline your operations and communication, paving the way for what's next in construction. Join us at betterboss.io. Together, we're building the future of construction. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to Construction Tech Talk. As we continue to explore the intersection of tradition and innovation, remember the future of construction is not just built on the ground, but also conceptualized from the skies. Stay curious, stay innovative, and let's build the future together. Until next time, I'm Nick Perrette, signing off.